Let me pray.
Father God, we pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds, you'd help us to hear you, to be challenged and to be changed in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good to see you all, and welcome to those online as well. That's fantastic. So the story so far, we've recapped on it. You've seen the pictures of the journey of Saul, from Saul to Paul, from somebody who hated Christians to somebody who was actually known as a Christian. And so we're looking at the story and where we're at. So Mike, can I have my PowerPoint? So we're going to look at the points we're going to look at today are, we're looking at Saul's passion, as Saul, the fact that Saul was persecuted, and actually about endurance. And the way we're going to phrase that is around the whole thing of, he said, hoping this will come down again. There we go. PPE. And big thanks to Tim. It was his idea. He said it was his idea. And so PPE. So you won't forget it. It'll be all about that. So let's start with the first P, and that's passion. So what I'm going to do for a few moments is think, and if you're with somebody, talk to them. What is it that you're passionate about that you can share with them? What is it that you're passionate about? 2 minutes. Go. What do you think? What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? Pardon. Okay, I don't know what you're thinking about with what your passion, but sort of Tim and I have shared similar passion, which we know does affect the fact that, yes, of course, we're passionate about Jesus. However, also, we both told stories of where maybe a large, major sporting event was happening at the time that a service was on, and either I spent more time outside the church or I spent more time on my phone trying to track how we were doing. Particularly as one of them was a super over. But anyway, that's one of those things. It's what are we passionate about? And Paul, it's sort of in this story, is about passion. He was a passionate man. He went from being passionate about that the Christians were so wrong that he wanted to destroy them. And he passionately did that. He passionately went around and he victimized, he found, he imprisoned, he even killed people. So he was passionate about, oops, PowerPoint's going all over the place. He was passionate about making sure that people didn't believe in Jesus. Then he meets Jesus on the Damascus Road, and he changed from being passionate about that to now being passionate about Jesus. It says in this passage, he grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. He became passionate about telling people about Jesus. Now, Paul was a very bright individual. And think of the brightest person you know, and that would be a small indication of what Paul was like. Paul was the brightest of the bright within his own sector. And actually, when you read, parts of his letters, you'll realize how bright he was. Because actually, even now, it's still very difficult to figure out what exactly he was saying. So he's a very, very, very clever man. And what he did was he actually suddenly understood what all the things he'd learned about previously had all come into focus for him. Because he had been spending time learning about the Old Testament, about the prophecies about the Messiah, about how we're supposed to live. And he thought he knew it. But then he met Jesus, and he really knew it. How did that happen? It happened because of the Holy Spirit. And it tells us in this that actually, the sort of, you know, in the passage, it says that actually he grew from strength to strength. And the word used here for strength is the same word as we use in the Bible, in the New Testament, for when somebody has been strengthened by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Greek word means. And so actually, he became more passionate, he became stronger, he became more passionate about telling people about Jesus. And he grew more and more powerful, not in his own strength, but in the Holy Spirit. And therefore he understood more. It made more sense. Now the problem is, of course, is that when you tell people about something you're passionate about, it causes problems. So Tim, what football team do you support? Tottenham. Apparently he supports Tottenham. Now I don't do football, so apparently you've got to support Steve's with you on this one. And there are bound to be other people who think actually you're out of your mind and why don't you support somebody else. So passion always creates opposition. Depends how passionate you feel about something. And that's what happened here, is that Paul was preaching and he therefore got what's called persecution. That means somebody stood up against him. Why? Because they didn't like what he was saying. And it got so bad that actually Paul had to leave because they were threatening to kill him. Now he's not frightened of dying. And this is something else that actually you look at Paul and think, that's amazing that you're not frightened to die for Jesus. But he wasn't. But he knew it wasn't the right thing to do at this point. He knew that actually he wouldn't be able to do that because he had much more to give for God. So what he did is he accepted the persecution, but he then he ran. He used his friends. His friends helped him, and they lowered him down in a basket. In my mind, it was a big basket. I don't know how big Paul was, but let's face it, if he was similar sort of height to me, probably he was a bit slimmer than me, but who knows? But it was probably still a big basket. As it was lowered down to escape them, because actually part of the persecution, one of the things we need to do is support people when they're being persecuted. And Paul's friends supported him. They got him out of the city. Why? Because the Jews were being sneaky and they were hiding around the front gate. They were waiting for him to do. They were almost had sort of like, they were looking out for informers and people who could tell them where Paul was so they could kill him in Damascus. And Paul then left. And he went back to Jerusalem where he had come from originally, and that's where the main church were, Christian church were, that's where the apostles were. And you thought he'd have been safe there. But he wasn't. Because he went to a place where the individuals who he was going to be in church with were people for whom Paul had killed their friends and possibly their family. And he'd locked them up. Now, there's a lovely statement in here, in the passage. It says in verse 23, after many days had gone by, that was the time he's in Damascus, the word many days means 3 years, we think. So in terms of it was many, 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 many days. It's about 1,000 days, to be honest, roughly. So he'd spent many days in Damascus and some other places learning about Jesus. And he'd come back to it. He'd been away from Jerusalem for a number of years. And he came back to Jerusalem. And suddenly, he's got a bunch of people who he probably thought would welcome with open arms, slightly distrust him. Why? Because you wouldn't necessarily trust him. So he's somebody who had betrayed friends and family and had them killed, and suddenly he's a member of your church. He's a member of your church and wanted to come here. In fact, not wanting just to come here, it's actually somebody who would invite to speak and preach. So we can understand why it is the disciples were a bit like, I'm not sure we trust him fully. Because, of course, we wouldn't. Because we don't. If somebody's done something to us, we often hold that against them for quite a long time. So Paul then did what's called, he needed endurance. Because the church were not for him. He couldn't go back to Damascus, so they wanted to kill him. And the way he got through this was he carried on in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he had a friend, he had a supporter, a guy called Barnabas. We've met him earlier, his name is Joseph originally. Barnabas means encourager. And what Barnabas said was that, actually, I've been with this guy. He's really good. He speaks about Jesus. He has changed. We need to accept him. And that convinced the apostles. And Paul also had gone around Jerusalem preaching as well. It says here, so Paul stayed with them and moved around freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He was still passionate. He still wound a bunch of people up. He wound up a bunch of Jews who were from the Greek background, Hellenistic Jews, and they wanted to kill him as well. He has a bit of a theme here that, you know, people just want to kill Paul, really. And not in the sense of saying, I really want to kill you, as in they really wanted to kill him. So actually what we had here was this time where Paul was very much, he needed endurance because he needed to get through this. And he did. He did with support with friends, with support of the Holy Spirit, and the passion that he had for Jesus. That's what this passage is all about. So what about us? What about us? We're going to be lowered from our bedroom windows in a basket to escape the wrath of our parents when we haven't tidied our room. Don't try that anyway, just to say, don't try it. But actually, the thing is, that we should have, first of all, passion. We should have passion. The time we have most passion for Jesus is when we first meet him. And for a lot of us, we've lost our passion. Paul always had his passion. He was passionate about Jesus. If you think about the thing I asked you, how passionate you about whatever it was, in Tim and mine's case, it was something to do with a ball of some different shapes. How passionate are you about Jesus as you are about that? How much do you want people to know Jesus? So my challenge this week is this. I'd like you to pray and ask God to direct you to somebody that you know, somebody that puts in your mind or you come across, you know, who you just know needs to know about Jesus, okay? And I want you to ask them a question. And don't worry, it's not a frightening question. The question is, how are you? I think we can all do that one. Not, where do you stand with the Lord and are you covered by the blood of the Lamb? It's simply of, where, how are you? And the follow-up question is, how are you really? And then you listen, and you listen, and you listen, and then you tell them about what you're going through. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's difficult or it's not. But the difference is, you will talk about how Jesus has been with you throughout this. That's really easy, isn't it? I haven't asked you to do anything tricky. I haven't asked you. So I've just asked you to pray. And I've asked you to think of somebody. And it may be even just a text. You don't even have to speak to them in person. It may just be a contact, particularly at the moment. So we need to be passionate about telling other people about Jesus. Second thing is, we need to actually understand that we are persecuted. Paul was persecuted by people because he was doing a good job. Sometimes we're persecuted. We're persecuted because people take the mickey, take the fun out of us because of the fact that we go to church and we follow Jesus. And actually, that's a good thing. It may not feel like a good thing, but it's a good thing because it means that actually you're standing up for Jesus. And if you are being persecuted, then talk to somebody about it and get them to pray for you. And the other thing you can do is to pray for the persecuted church. In this world, there are loads and loads and loads of countries where being a Christian is very similar to the example that Paul had. Could end up with you dead, in prison. So pray for them. Open Doors is a wonderful organization who have got lots of information about how you can pray. So pray for the persecuted church. Because they need our prayers. They need that support that Paul had from Barnabas. We need to be a Barnabas to the persecuted church. And the final thing is, we must have endurance. As the song says, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And no, I'm not going to carry that on. Or as the Bible says, which is actually better. He says, we must run the race that lies in front of us. We must run it patiently. We must look ahead to Jesus. He is the one who's carved out the path of faith. He is the one who has brought it to completion. We need to endure. We need to run the race. We need to live our lives and focus on Jesus That's what Paul did. No matter what all the rubbish was and all the persecution, all the difficult times, he focused on Jesus. This week, this month, when it gets tough, focus on Jesus and ask him to be with you and help you. So, this week, you're going to put one of these on a number of times. You're going to see these a number of times. So, when you see one or when you put one on, think. Passion. Who am I looking to talk to this week? See how they're doing and look for the opportunity to share my faith. When you put it on and when you look at it, think, who in this world can I pray for who are being persecuted at the moment? And the final one is, when I put this on, think, actually, how am I doing? Do I focus on Jesus? Am I running the race? Is it tough? And I just have to ask God. We live in a world where there is no joy and there is no hope at the moment, because people can't see it. We follow a Saviour who offers us joy and hope that is beyond the understanding of all the people around us, all the governments in the world. We need to show that. And even though it's tough for us, and I know it's tough, because of the power of the Holy Spirit in us and the hope of Jesus, we can endure. PPE, passion, persecution, endurance. Look for opportunities this week and be like Paul. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the opportunity to tell other people about Jesus. Help us to pray for and to find one person to say, how are you? Help us to pray for those in the world who are currently being persecuted, who are finding it difficult to be Christians. And Father, we pray for endurance. We pray that we would actually, no matter what goes on in our lives, we would focus on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, who is the thing that gives us strength. And we pray we would do all of this, not in our own strength, but through the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. We ask this in your name. Amen.